Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Our main church case goes to the United States Supreme Court. We're going to be talking about this and other developments on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Holly, this case involving Calvary Chapel of Bangor in Maine is on two different tracks. One track is at the U.S. Supreme Court. We're asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review the case of the Court of Appeals. In addition to that, we're also at the lower district court, asking the court there to issue a permanent injunction against these unconstitutional restrictions by Governor Janet Mills. Right now, Maine is the most restrictive state in the nation.
Right. Only 50 people are allowed per service, despite the size of the facility. So can you imagine only 50 people in your church? And Calvary Chapel is a large facility, and they do have this program, a residential program, for recovery of abuse of alcohol and drugs. And so they have 48 people in that program. So you take that number of people plus your staff and pastors, they've already violated the cap. It's ridiculous.
This restriction in Maine started off as no worship, then 10 people, then 50 people, no matter the size. Then after we filed this case at the United States Supreme Court, the governor issued an order that said you can have 5 people for 1,000 square feet. Well, they knew in our case that Calvary Chapel of Bangor, its particular church facility, is 10,000 square feet. Well, that comes up to exactly the same 50-person limit. So they made this change, but for Calvary, it's exactly the same. You can't have any more than 50 people. So this church has this drug and alcohol rehabilitation discipleship program. It's a year-long program, and it's for men and women, 24 men, 24 women. They're housed, and they reside right there on the church property.
You know, and so many lives are changed through this Christ-based program. You think the governor would be so grateful the church is doing this.
Well, and the governor's orders, and you can see how discriminatory they are, say that you can continue with that kind of secular counseling, if you will. Of course, this is not secular, but they don't understand the difference.
Well, it's Christ-based.
So in other words, you can continue with your drug and alcohol counseling. You can feed people. You can house them overnight with no restrictions on the numbers. You can give them counseling that's of a so-called secular nature, if you will, as long as it doesn't involve religious worship services. And that would include unemployment, disability counseling, other kinds of counseling, including drug and alcohol rehabilitation counseling. So this particular aspect of it is deemed essential with no restrictions on the limit. However, what makes this program successful is its Christ-based center. And Bible study and worship are part of this service.
They're mandatory.
So they come into the church on a regular basis for Bible study and instruction and worship, praise and worship. And in fact, it's mandatory to be there for the worship services. Well, that means that they can come into the sanctuary, the same people, this 48 people, and you can have however many over 50 or however many over 0 or 10 during the whole time frame. And they can talk about drug and alcohol rehabilitation. But as soon as the pastor says, let's open up the hymnal and we want to sing a song, or we're going to put a song on the screen, we want to do some praise and worship, and we're going to have some worship right now, that becomes illegal. And it's been illegal from day one, all the way back to March of 2020. It's been illegal for them to worship, these same people, because it started off with 0, 10, now 50. And so if you have 48 men and women, which they do, and you have the pastors, it kicks them over 50. That doesn't even count the rest of the church members who are not part of the drug and alcohol rehabilitation program.
And this carries up to criminal penalties, up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine every time they meet.
So what happened is, you know, Pastor Ken says, I can't cut out the heart of worship, because that's what makes this program successful, Jesus Christ and worshiping our Lord.
Right, he's the foundation.
So he, from the very beginning, made a decision after closing and then realizing the governors had these essential activities such as liquor stores and abortion clinics and all the big box centers and all the other places, but churches were not included. Worship was banned. So he began worshiping with them. He continued his service with the people in the program, but he told the others to go home and watch online. Well, they're watching online, but they see their brothers and sisters there in the service, worshiping. And then they began to talk to Pastor Ken. "Pastor Ken, I miss being in church with my brothers and sisters. If I come to church, will the doors be locked?" And he said, "No."
Oh, that breaks my heart just to hear that every time.
he says, in fact, he's actually done an affidavit that we filed, that it would be a sin for him as a pastor to tell someone you cannot come to church. Now, that puts it in a very poignant way, that he would be disobeying his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, if some of the people, whether they're church members or not, said, "Pastor, I'd love to come to your church," and the pastor then said, "You cannot come to my church."
And it's a reminder, our rights come from God, not from the government.
Right. And so he has been worshiping, and then the other people started coming back on their own. And so they've been illegal from day one because of these unconstitutional orders. And now it's the worst restriction in the entire country. Many of these restrictions, we've had the opportunity to overturn them in the courts, including the Supreme Court.
Of course, you mentioned we're at the Supreme Court, but then we're also at the district court.
Right. So we have this case pending at the United States Supreme Court. We're asking the court to take a review of the entire case. And then at the same time, we're on a second track, and that's in the lower district court. And the lower district court originally ruled against us. And, of course, a lot has changed since then because the Supreme Court has issued multiple opinions, including opinions in our cases out of California, Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry.
Right.
So now we're back in the district court. And in light of those changed circumstances and the fact that Amy Coney Barrett became the fifth vote to strike down these restrictions in other church cases, including our cases, we're asking the lower court to say, you need to permanently stop the governor from these unconstitutional restrictions. And so that's where we are. We're on two simultaneous tracks at the same time, the United States Supreme Court and the lower district court.
Right.
And we're being very, very proactive. This is an amazing ministry, though, Holly.
Oh, I know.
And you mentioned, for example, that this church has an incredible ministry. Recently on their Facebook, with regards to the drug and alcohol rehabilitation program, this woman, who was one of the first residents a number of years ago, posted a testimony about her transformation, how she got involved in drugs and alcohol, and she ended up coming to this program, and there she found acceptance, she found love, and she found redemption and healing in Jesus Christ.
Right. She'd actually committed larceny, and she was found out by her employer.
Right.
So she faced a prison time for that. And so she really realized she'd hit the bottom.
She hit the bottom.
And somebody had told her, I think it was her mother, had told her about the program. So she got involved, and she did a total, God worked in her and did a total life change.
Yeah,
it's
you
amazing.
Know, and this particular church takes the Bible seriously.
Yeah.
Because this one-year program, they go through the entire Bible. They'll go through Genesis through Revelation, and it depends upon when you come in. You might be at the very beginning of Genesis 1. You might be in, you know, Deuteronomy. You could be in Matthew. But by the time you end the following year, you've gone through the entire Scriptures.
Right, but it's a life changer. It's not just help you with your addictions or your problems, but it's totally changing your life and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ.
Because the secular programs, and this is what Pastor Ken will say, essentially, that it just puts a Band-Aid on the problem, and it doesn't cure. But this program, because it's Christ-centered, frees the individual from those bonds and those chains and heals them from the inside
out.
Right,
we have to get to the root of our sin issue, what is causing that, and how Christ can change us through the Holy Spirit.
And Ken has a personal experience because he grew up with an abusive alcoholic father who left the family very poor. And he ended up, when he was a teenager, reading the book The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And he realized there was hope and that he could be in a ministry that ultimately helped people who were going through what he had experienced with his dad. Mm-hmm. And so he started a church in the home That became Calvary Chapel of Bangor, and they started this ministry. And this is just one of many ministries this church had. It's that's phenomenal ministry. And you know, the churches that decided to stay open, or open, I should say, after a period of time they were closed down, against all the resistance, the Lord has really blessed them, all these ones that we work with around the country, in incredible ways because they have been faithful. Well, pray for this church and pray for Liberty Council and our ministry as we continue to battle these church restrictions. It's not over yet. Go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.